uncensored, no holds barred talk, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. This is the Global Reality Radio Network.
Edition of the Global Reality right here on the Global Reality Radio Network. I'm your host, Josh Reeves. It is Monday, Moonbat Metal Monday, and we're here for you live for another edition. It is Monday, January the 9th into Tuesday, January the 10th, 2012, and we're going to be getting into various news items and who knows what else we'll get into. The conversation and the talk always tends to go in tons of different places, and that's what's fun about it. So we'll definitely be doing that here tonight. So we're glad you could join us. Hope you had a good weekend, and hope you're ready for another week of information and research and reading and all this stuff. And hope you're ready to take in some more information, and hope you're all continuing to do your own research out there and dig and find your own understandings of all this stuff, because it is vitally important and continues to be important as we find more and more out. But somebody in the chat room, yeah, you guys were talking about Megadeth. You guys were talking about, yeah, Marty Friedman. Yeah. Yeah. Look into Steve Vai. Seriously, that guy's a fucking demon, man. He was, I mean, come on, dude. See, you know when Steve Vai was born, man, Hydra? 6666. Oh, yeah. Shit you not. And I think his middle name is like Sirius or some shit like that. And I don't know what he's got all this reptilians. He's a total reptile. He's got reptilian shit all over all of his albums. Look into it, man. It's a whole, the Vi rabbit hole is a rabbit hole all of its own. I have a friend who was looking into some of that stuff a while back. It's just unbelievable. It's its own rabbit hole with all these musicians, and it's insane stuff. But anyway, glad you all could be here with us tonight for another live edition. My website where this broadcast originates from is www.theglobalreality.com. That's www.theglobalreality.com. And there you can find, 60, not 66. Yeah, my bad. Yeah, 6660. Yeah. That's like, yeah, it's amazing. And he did like his video for his biggest hit for the Love of God or something like that. And he did it live, like from Mount Shasta or some shit. I mean, yeah. Yeah. And he actually played the guitar devil in the movie Crossroads. Yeah. It's really amazing. I mean, it's one of those crazy fucking things you look at. And what's funny about it is, well, they were talking about Marty Friedman, and he learned all that stuff from Jason Becker. And of course, as soon as Jason Becker was coming to be the hot guitarist on the scene, he's going to replace, Steve Vai into David Lee Roth's band. And right as soon as they were getting ready to go out on tour, boom, he gets Lou Gehrig's disease. And next thing you know, Steve Vai's career is taking off. Yeah, lots of shady stuff. But nonetheless, if you'd like to send an email into me tonight for the show to read here on the air, if you have a question or a comment, anything of that nature, globalrealityshow@gmail.com is my email address. It's globalrealityshow@gmail.com. Love to have emails in there, and you can send them there anytime. I'll do my best to respond back to you and read them on the air and answer questions, anything else. globalrealityshow@gmail.com. That is the email where you send those at. Again, my website, theglobalreality.com. You have all the things there, many things there to do. You got the listen tab, listen to the show live, the stream. Obviously, you're listening now. You know how to find that. So But if you're not listening and you're live and you're right now and you're listening on a YouTube video later on, which I've noticed there's all kinds of operators going on those things and making fucked up ass comments. I got thrown off. I tracked what I was, I need to go look in the chat room. Anyway, but yes, you can find, the chat room there at legalreality.com as well. Archive shows. You can buy my newest documentary film, See Right Volume 2 on Blu-ray and DVD. Many people have received their discs already. If you haven't received yours yet, sit tight. Of course, the more recent that you ordered it, the farther down the line you're going to be getting it. So those people who ordered early on, you guys will be receiving, should all be receiving your DVDs this week. So be by the mailbox. We have had some people that have gotten theirs already and have watched it and sent messages and said that they loved it. So that's really awesome. Now, one thing I was going to tell you of note, everybody that pre-ordered is getting the research pack, the full package with the extra DVD and the sticker and all that stuff. Some of them are in the research pack stuff, the extra disc and the sticker are in separate from the DVD in the package, but some of them are the sticker and the extra disc is actually inside of the CD, the DVD case itself on some of the orders. I already had a lot of them packed up before I realized that was a really awesome thing I could do. I could just, the sticker and the extra disc just fits perfectly inside of the DVD case, because I didn't get the shrink wrapping this time. I got the shrink wrapping last time on See Right Volume 1, because I thought at the time it was my first rodeo, you know, ordering the first film, 9/11 New World Rising, that was all homemade stuff. You know, it wasn't, nothing was pressed or anything. I didn't have the cash funds to do that. But so the first time on See Right Volume 1, the discs were shrink wrapped. Because I thought that was a good thing to do, because they offered it, and it wasn't very, it kind of added a little bit to it, but anyway, long story short, it just turned out to be a colossal pain in the ass, because, a lot of people wanted their, when they ordered their DVDs, they wanted me to sign them, and so it was like, you know, I'm having to bust open this plastic to get in there and sign this disc, and so by the time they get the disc that's signed, it's not even shrink-wrapped anymore. You know, so that's pointless. So I didn't do that this go round, and I think it was all the better for it that way. But anyway, 2 years in the making for that film, and it's finally here and it's out and people are getting it, and I hope you'll get it as well. TheGlobalReality.com, go there and get yourself a Blu-ray or a DVD, and of course the preferred director's suggestion for watching that movie is to get the Blu-ray and watch it on a nice, you know, high def TV and with some good, you know, a good refresh rate and big screen. Oh, you'll love it. It's great. Cause that's exactly how it looked. The Blu-ray is almost like it's like a verbatim copy of how it looked on the Mac, while I was making it. You know what I mean? You have to down resolution when you go to DVD. So, and the DVD, I mean, it's still, you know, you're getting the film. It's still the film. It's great. But everything just pops. It just looks so much more alive in the high def. Everything looks better. So I'm just excited that we actually got to offer that this time. And I really think on the next film as well, it's going to be even more awesome, because in the next film with the Buried Archaeology of the United States. I don't have a title for this thing yet, but I'm just throwing out stuff of what I, you know, random ideas of what it's generally going to be about. But anyway, this film's going to be, you know, it's not going to be another one of these films I've made where, you know, it's archival footage and you're having to tell a story without anything. It's going to be, you know, real documentary style, shoot it with a camera and all that. So that'll look really awesome in high def as well. We've had, past couple of weeks, our support have been really extremely low, like abnormally low. So we really need to get some support in here right now. We can't use the P.O. box yet because there was some weird stuff going on with it, and it came up due over the holidays, and the post office wasn't even open when it was due. And so I've got to get that handled, but we had like $150 short on our shipping banner last month, and here we are in the second week of January. We've only gotten like $40 in. That's, I mean, we have enough to send out the DVDs right now, and that's pretty much it. So we do need some support. I thought last week I iterated that enough. I guess I didn't. We didn't get anything in. We need your support and your help right now. We are having a fundraiser for this month to kick us off 2012, because there is so much to do and there is so much more for me to get out there this year, that starting out 2012, in the hole is just not, that's not a very good booster for us. This is go time, folks. And who are you going to allow to win in this thing? Are you want to at least give me a fighting chance, don't you? Well, if you do, and you don't want it to be a total wash, and you don't want these ass clowns like Alex Jones and others to win, please support what I do. TheGlobalReality.com. The chipping banner's there. The donate button is there as well. Not a lot of news. I almost didn't do a show tonight. I mean, if this continues, the shows are going to be fewer and far between. And I'm just going to start working on the film, the next film, in the between time, because I'm not going to get up here and talk every goddamn night for 2 or 3 hours about Ron Paul and the elections and all this horseshit. I'm just not going to do it. And for the time being, but you know, look, this is the second week of January, folks. We're kind of in the, I mean, you'll appreciate the quiet and kind of downness of this time period later on. You'll wish we were back here probably over the next few months. Cause something big's come around the corner. But yeah, not a whole hell of a lot of news tonight, but we'll get into what we have to get in here tonight. Let's see. Oh, this one's great. Apparently, the White House had a Alice in Wonderland party in 2009, and they were served drinks that were vials of blood. You know, I mean, these guys always try to downplay what conspiracy theorists and researchers and journalists and everything have said about, you know, the fact that all these guys at the highest levels are into the occult, and all these guys at the highest levels are homosexuals, and all these guys at the highest levels are, you know, into doing human sacrifice and all this stuff. And then, you know, we have stories like, you know, this body being found on the where the queen was for the holidays. And, you know, this story with the Obamas having a White House Alice in Wonderland themed party, and they're drinking blood out of vials. You know, I mean, come on. That's the whole thing. I mean, they try to downplay that and say that, you know, that's a bunch of tinfoil hat stuff, but yet at every turn, we have new pieces of information that these fuckers just, you know, let slip out, and then imagine they'll go down the memory hole, and yet again, we have more evidence. After it was revealed that the Obamas hosted a lavish Halloween party in 2009, during a low point of the recession, people are now questioning how the event was kept a secret for 2 years. The White House maintains they were never dishonest and did, in fact, mention the party, though they chose to keep the role of Hollywood heavyweights Johnny Depp and Tim Burton to a minimum. This was an event, yeah, dude, Johnny Depp. I mean, that guy, dude, Johnny Depp is as deep as they are. You don't believe me? Here, you do your own digging on this one. I'm not going to have time going the whole Johnny Depp thing, but just go back and look into the history of the club that he owned, the Viper Club. Look into the Viper Club. Look into that place. Look into it before he owned it. Look into it after he owned it. Look into what happened around the time when River Phoenix died. There was some shady, shady, deep connected mob tied shit going on there. And, you know, it just continues to get swept under the rug. So, you know, look, Johnny Depp being at the White House and they're doing these things, drinking out of blood. I mean, that just fits. It just fits with exactly what we know about these people. They're all at the highest levels, sadistic, bloodthirsty, insane people that are using these different occult teachings and using them for only the negative to gain negative responses out of, and while keeping us ignorant to those, so that there is no counter magic to what they're doing in a positive way. That's, I mean, that is a sort of a quick capsule sum up of really everything you need to know about the secret societies. Because that's what they do. The reason they're secret is because they don't want us to know how to use this same stuff, but use it against them to counter what they do. That's the reason for the secrecy, folks. Let me get down to the part where it said something about them drinking the blood vials. Where is it? It says, instead of chowing down on presidential M&Ms, sugar cookies, and dried fruit that Mrs. Obama traditionally hands out in her trick-or-treat bags, the guests at the invitation-only party had bone-shaped meringue, meringue. Ugh. That was a horrible mispronunciation there. Bone-shaped meringue cookies and fruit punch served in blood vials. Well, that really sounds like Alice in Wonderland theme stuff to me. Yeah. So there you go. That's your leaders. Drinking blood out of vials and having eyes wide shut, raping parties. You know, that was the whole thing that hey, and look, I don't think Stanley Kubrick for a second. I heard all these truthers and conspiracy theorists before defend Stanley Kubrick and try to act like Stanley Kubrick was some whistleblower. He was some insider. Some people have interpreted it that way, and I guess it's everybody's interpretation, but I think that's the wrong interpretation. I don't think Stanley Kubrick was a hero or a whistleblower of anything. The guy was absolutely an insider at the highest levels. He's alleged to have participated in the creating of the models and creating of the sets that were used in the bullshit that was shown on TV for the hoaxed moon missions, and then allowed to use that technology in, 2001 A Space Odyssey, and then, of course, George Lucas later used a lot of the same stuff in Star Wars later on as well. But Stanley Kubrick was not a whistleblower. The guy was a total insider. In Eyes Wide Shut, the things that he got very accurate in that movie were the real dark, magical incantations and rituals, because the incantations and the things that they're, the chanting that they're doing in that movie are real actual chants. And the only problem with that movie that wasn't accurate is all those dudes in there were all having sex with women. Well, that's an absolute falsehood, and that's an absolute covering up. These guys aren't in mansions, having, you know, wearing, doing those kind of things, having sex with women. Y'all, these motherfuckers are in there fucking each other in the ass. On a Hershey Highway going downtown to Browntown. That's where these motherfuckers are going. And I think that was an absolute whitewash by Stanley Kubrick in you know, it, maybe he couldn't have thrown in at least one or two for good measure. No, he didn't. It was all guys, you know, all guys having sex with women. And there were some graphic sex scenes in there. But again, it was man or woman. No. The evidence does not point in that direction. That's not, you know, that's not speculation. The evidence that we have at hand from the thing, stories we've seen and some people admitted to seeing and all this stuff, and what we've heard about goes on at the Bohemian Grove, and what we've heard about goes on at Skull and Bones, and all these other rituals that don't even happen at these type of places. These guys are not in there having sex with women. They're having sex with dudes. That's what the evidence supports. I met Shelley Duvall. She's an actress. You guys do not know who she is. She was in The Shining with Stanley Kubrick directed, and she's, you know, Popeye. She's in a bunch of movies. But I met her one time at a film festival in Dallas. And she's very, very sweet, very awesome, very down to earth. You're just real approachable, and you just sit there and talk to her. And she told me that I was asking her about Kubrick, you know, of course, you know, I'm sure that's what everybody asked her. And she actually, I said, you know, I'm not sure, you're probably tired of talking about that or whatever. And she's like, no, it's fine. And I was like, well, you know, give me the real deal. You know, what was he like? And she said, well, you know, those parts in The Shining where I'm holding the knife and Jack's doing the, you know, here's Johnny, you know, and I'm fucking screaming and crying and tears are coming out. She's like, all that was real. because Stanley Kubrick was standing off to the side behind the camera the whole time when we were doing those scenes going, you cunt, you fucking bitch, you piece of shit, you aren't fucking worth anything, you're a cunt, you fucking whore, you dirty piece of shit. That's literally how she said it to me. Just over and over and over again, berating her as if he was, like, you know, possessed. So, you know, I mean, look, these guys, these guys are into the nastiest, most sadistic things you can imagine. The things that you and I and most people would find repugnant, that's what they get off on. And again, that's not just wild speculation or just throwing around things. That's what the evidence shows, folks. I mean, my God, I'll tell you, I'm going to be 100% honest with you. I hope, and I would only have ever done this for research purposes, but I hope that I never have to delve as far down into the dark, sadistic, nasty side of these motherfuckers ever again as I had to making The Secret Life Volume 2. That middle section of the film, my God. These motherfuckers are sick, and they are really doing black magic, and they really are doing human sacrifice. They are doing, you know, modern day Crowley stuff. I mean, they take it to the absolute extreme. And it's all because they believe they draw this dark energy and this power from it. But I got to tell you, you know, we've had people for years saying that, you know, there's Satan worshipers out there, and they're devil worshipers and all this stuff. And then you find out most of these people that were saying all that stuff are the devil worshipers. They are the Satanists. But there are also a lot of people who did that stuff to raise fear and to get us to living in constant fear and fear of our neighbors and to further separate and divide our society and divide us away from each other. And so they were very successful in that. Well, you know, while that stuff is very real, it's these people that are doing it. That's the whole crazy thing about it. And when you had these people out there for years, most of them, you know, Christian preachers or TV evangelists or whatever have you, getting on TV and getting up there saying, these devil worshipers will kidnap your children. They will do human sacrifices on them while they listen to Judas Priest albums. And they put backwards messages in there that tell them to go molest children and kill them. And so while it was true that, you know, there are several devil worshipers and stuff out there, I mean, look, these guys are all running this and controlling this. And so what they did was they created a bunch of fear, but then they still didn't give people the truth. And then created this thing where most people think, oh, well, that's all bullshit because, you know, these stupid Christian preachers. Well, no, they're there to poison the well. Just like, you know, that one guy, I'm not going to say his name, who talks about all the Jesuit Vatican stuff. You know, look at his information. Look into his research. And go look into that stuff for yourself. I mean, the guy puts out some legit research. But the fact that he's an Israeli diamond salesman, the fact that he's an admitted Zionist, and the fact that he's a, for lack of a better term, a fucking Nazi, let's create segregated states in the United States and put black people over here in one state and white people over here in one other state and Mexicans over here. What? But that's, again, that's why he's been the only guy that's been allowed to come out and have any sort of a big platform with that stuff so they can poison the well and people don't take his information seriously. And then anytime anybody ever brings the stuff up ever again, they just associate the information with him when he himself as a person has nothing to do with the information at hand. And I wish people out there would quit getting caught up in this. And I got an email from somebody. You guys know how I feel about this. That between that one and the Bill Cooper question, somebody goddamn sent me an email asking me about what is your blah, 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 stitching and blah, blah, blah. What is this all? You know, man, I'm so glad somebody made a, I'm so glad that somebody made a video response to that because I can just send it to this person. Man, oh man, oh man. Crazy stuff. Let's see what else we have here tonight. Voice to skull technology is now getting cheaper and cheaper, I see. They're now just starting to roll this stuff out to the general public. That tells you what else they have in the in the upper echelons is way beyond this now. New headphones use special forces technology to transmit sound directly through your cheek to your inner ear. When Beethoven went deaf, he discovered he could still hear his piano by biting on a metal rod attached to it, which transmitted vibrations. The same idea is used in new Aftershocks headphones set to be unveiled at the Consumer Electronics Show in Las Vegas next week, using a technology often employed by special forces. The bone conduction headphones designed for exercise transmit vibrations through your cheek to the inner ear. Bone conduction headphones are not new. Special forces and police departments often use the technology, which allow headphones to operate without leaking sound. Yeah. Well, that's what you want to use if you're using in-ear monitors for doing music and stuff. It's not, you know, it's actually using vibrations and sound frequencies other than just, you know, pure sound coming out of a speaker. But yeah, voice to skull technology. I mean, they'll probably be, that means they'll probably be getting ready to roll out the, you know, the big hoaxed alien end times prophecy thing real soon.
People of Earth, we have come to take over your planet. We are the Anunnaki. We came here thousands of years ago and set up your planet. We seeded you with religion, with society, with everything, and set ourselves up as gods. We have returned now in 2012 to do the same. Bow down before us. We are your true gods. We are the Anunnaki.
You guys ever seen that old Japanese anime? It's my favorite of all time. Robotech, the Macross Saga, the first series of that. Yeah, straight up. And it takes place between, like, I think it takes place over like 2001 to 2012, something like that. Or 1999 to 2012. That's when it takes place. It was made back in the 80s. But there's these extraterrestrials. They're called the Zentradi. Very close to Anunnaki. That's what they are. They're giants. And the humans find this ancient giant technology, and they back engineer it and create their own human stuff out of it. But what they don't tell the humans is that these aliens who left this technology are giants. And I found that interesting, that, you know, why in this cartoon, in this fiction, I remember this used to come on, it was Japanese anime used to come on when I was a kid, when I was in elementary school, back in the mornings. I mean, my dad used to watch it every morning. I remember my dad watching it with me one time, going, you know, this is way sophisticated for a kid's cartoon, you know. And it was, you know, it wasn't just a cartoon. Or my dad watching it with me going, man, this is awesome. This is actually, you know. He's like, I'm enjoying this. This isn't just a cartoon with a bunch of dumb stuff on it, you know. And I just thought it was, I was just thinking about that, you know, how amazing is that, you know, not only were these humans back engineering this technology of this, you know, ancient race of these giants, but they were keeping the fact that these people who created this technology, they were keeping the fact that they were giants from the people, and they iterate that in the story, because you see one of the characters, normally all the humans see, or when they see the bad guys or they see the Zentradi, they just see these machines, right? So that's all they think they are. They think they're machines. They don't understand that inside of these machines, they actually house these, you know, human looking giants. And so the first time they kill one, some of the civilians see this thing. They see it get out of the ship, and they see this, you know, one of the good guys come up and blow it away, and it falls down and dies, and they're just mortified, freaked out. And that's when you start to understand, oh, you see, they didn't tell They told the people that, yes, this is alien technology, and yes, we back engineered it, but we don't know who did it. But what they left out was that the people who made it were giants. Now, why wouldn't they want the people to know that? Well, any one of those answers could go right into reality. Why wouldn't they want us to know that? So, yeah, good stuff. Robotech Macross Saga. Check it out. Let's see what else we have here. Our Metal Moonbat Monday tonight pre-show music was in tribute to Black Sabbath. Tony Iommi diagnosed with cancer. And sad news coming on the heels of the announcement just a few weeks ago of the Black Sabbath reunion for 2012 with all the original members, including Ozzy Osbourne, back with the original cast of Black Sabbath doing a reunion tour and album. And that album is said to be going to be produced by Rick Rubin, which I can't stand Rick Rubin. He's such a terrible producer, but we'll see. But anyway, yeah, I mean, maybe they'll, you know, I don't know. Maybe they'll get in there and use as much. They say it's at the early stages, so they'll be able to treat it. But, you know, it's still not good news. So I don't know. Maybe, you know, maybe they'll be able to sustain his life for a few years, and maybe Black Sabbath will get in there and, you know, make the best music they've ever made, you know, because, I mean, dude, when you know, if time, you know, you got time is short like that, and you're, you know, coming on the heels of just doing a big tour and everything being booked and having a big record, I mean, this could really make for some of the best music, because they know this is going to be it. They're going to have one chance to get it right, most likely. So I think this is going to be an incredible story to watch, and I think it's going to further the incredible story already of Black Sabbath and Ozzy Osbourne and that whole thing. It's already a fascinating story, the whole history of the band and their you know, the multiple lives that the band itself, Black Sabbath, has had, and the multiple lives that Ozzy Osbourne has had as a solo artist. So I think this is going to really play out in the end to be just, you know, one of those really amazing stories in rock music. We'll have to continue to follow it, but Black Sabbath guitarist Tony Iommi is to undergo treatment for cancer after being diagnosed with lymphoma. His bandmates, with whom he has recently been reunited to record a new album, have asked fans to send positive vibes to the 63-year-old musician. The hard rock pioneers recently reformed with their original lineup to work on their first album together for over 33 years. A statement released on behalf of the band said Iommi is currently working with doctors to establish the best treatment plan. The Iron Man of rock and roll remains upbeat and determined to make a full and successful recovery. So yeah, we wish him all the best. Tony Iommi, what amazing guitarist. Anyway, the guy, has been overcoming the odds since day one. So I like his odds here. I think he's got good odds. I mean, the guy cut his fingers off. Yeah, you know, a machine shop accident, just cut his fingers off. I mean, he thought he would never play again. And, he was feeling really down and really upset. And he didn't want to look at the guitar. He didn't want to hear it. Didn't want to touch it, you know, anything at all. And a friend brought him a Django Reinhardt album and played it for him. And he said, you know, what do you think of that? And he said, oh, it's amazing. But what's your point? And he said, well, the point is he played that without, you know, his two fingers. So it inspired Tony Iommi so much. He ended up making these like prosthetic things. You can see them in some of the videos. He made these like fingertips. They're like these glued on things, but that's what gave him the sound. Those, that sort of cut off fingertips when he would press down on those chords, you know, when that massive distortion and the SG going through the Orange amplifier, you know, Black Sabbath, when I first started playing guitar, bass was what I started on. I was about 15 and I wanted to play, and I had an uncle who was, you know, had been playing for a long time, and he knew how to play a bunch of stuff, and I wanted to get him to teach me how to play some stuff. And the first thing he ever taught me was Electric Funeral by Black Sabbath, and he gave me the first four Black Sabbath albums. He said, here, you know, you go learn this. I think he gave me a tab book or something, you know, music book of Black Sabbath. He said, here, go learn this stuff, and after you learn this stuff, I'll teach you some more. And literally a month later, I came back, and I had the first four Black Sabbath albums down. I mean, damn. I could play. I don't even know if I could play all that stuff now, but I did. I had them down, man. I mean, I was just into it, you know. It really spoke to me. But after I did that, my uncle was kind of like, you know what? You don't need my help. You got this. He didn't teach me anything ever again after that, which I felt kind of cheated by. I was like, man, I did what you told me to do. But he was like, you don't need my help. You got this. But yeah, just an innovator in music and in the tones. Tony Iommi, I think, certainly is probably the founding father of metal guitar. I think you'd have to give that up to him most certainly on that one. Let's see what else we have here tonight. Starship Trooper, female astronaut chosen to lead 100-year project to go beyond the solar system. So, see, now they're starting to do this. I mean, we're starting to see the Galactic Federation appear. Now, I mean, we're heading into Star Trek land, folks. Hope you're ready. The astronaut who became the first black woman in space in 1992 has been chosen to skipper the 100-year Starship project. Mae Jemison will lead the project to explore what it would take for a multi-generational mission beyond the solar system. Jemison, 55, from Alabama, played a key role in setting up the 100-year Starship Symposium organized last year by NASA and the Pentagon's Defense Advanced Research Project Agency in Florida. That led to the award by the Defense Advanced Research Project Agency of $500,000 contract to study what is needed for long-term space missions and interstellar space in MSNBC reports. With the money in the bank, Jemison's group, the Houston-based Dorothy Jemison Foundation for Excellence, now has to take on the challenge of building a program that can last 100 years, which will hopefully result in a starship. The foundation is teamed with the Icarus Interstellar and the Foundation for Enterprise Development. So, yeah, I guess they're getting ready to go out into the fucking cosmos to find the xenomorphs, which they will then attempt to corral and capture and bring back to Earth so that the Weyland-Yutani Corporation can use it for a bioweapons program here on Earth. Oh, I'm sorry. That was the alien plot of the Alien movies with Sigourney Weaver. My bad. But, I mean, sometimes you see some people, go back and watch these movies. You're like, God damn, it does look like it's heading that way now. You know, you watch that shit in 1985 and it was like, nah, that'll never happen. This is far-fetched bullshit, you know, science fiction, blah, blah, blah. You watch it in 2012, you're like, oh, shit. Maybe they were onto something here. Maybe this isn't science fiction as much as we thought it is. And of course, there's a lot of that stuff, you know. Let's see what else we have here tonight. Not a lot of news. This one I love. Bizow doo doo zo biz zippity bop 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 arrested. A Madison man with an unusual name is in jail after police said he violated his bail conditions from a previous run-in with the law. 30-year-old Bizow doo doo zompity bop 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 is tentatively charged. What is this guy like? Is this David Lee Roth or something? Bizow doo zippity bop bop bop. Yeah, half a teacher. Is tentatively charged with a concealed knife. That's the fucking greatest name I've ever heard. Possession of marijuana and probation violation. Court records show his previous name was Jeffrey Drew Wilski. And he legally changed it to Bizow Doo Doo Zo Bitty 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 Bop 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 in October. Wow. You can't make that kind of shit up. I got to drop that one in the chat room so you can just see it for yourself. That is the greatest name in the history of all names right there. In the words of Rick James, cocaine is a hell of a drug. I think that's what that name tells us right there. Cocaine is a hell of a drug. Portuguese government looks for Masons among politicians. Portuguese Prime Minister Pedro Passos Coelho gave the Ministry of Internal Administration guidelines for the obligations of persons holding high positions in government to disclose whether they belong to Masonic lodges. informed the Lisbon Daily, Diario de Natoshis, guidance on the verification link politics with Freemasonry were included. Wow, you guys hear that? I farted. No, I'm just kidding. It's thunder. With Freemasonry were included in the government report on the matter, so-called ongoing, the document contained a suspicion against a group of people from the former management of the Portuguese secret police and ongoing media concern about attempts to control the media. Portuguese newspaper reminds that even the prime minister on Wednesday denied that Pazazos Colejo would require persons holding high public office to disclose whether they belong to Masonic lodges. So that's interesting. So they're now not allowing their politicians in Portugal to keep their membership in any fraternal brotherhoods a secret. So that's very interesting stuff there. That'll create ripples because these guys have been getting away with that, you know, for the longest time. But at the same time, you know, in somewhere like Britain, I mean, in the UK, they're just out about it there. I mean, in fact, you have to be a Freemason to be in any sort of high level office or high level position of any kind in Britain. It's just required. But that is interesting that, you know, they're starting to crack down on that a bit. U.S. health experts seek more study on fracking. A group of U.S. medical professionals called Monday for a halt to a type of drilling for natural gas called fracking in populated areas until more is known about its health impacts. When it comes to hydrofracking, our guideline principle for public policy should be the same as the one used by physicians. First, do no harm. There is a need for scientific and epidemiological information for the health impacts of fracking. Frankly, no one should be unleashing even more fracking before we have the scientific data. Well, look, we have the scientific data. I mean, look, look at the chemicals that they admit that they put in this stuff. I understand that this is all well and all nice, and oh, yeah, they're trying to look into it now, but the point is there should be no looking into it. If things were being ran in the way that they should be ran, with the interest, best interest of all people in mind, we wouldn't have a conversation about whether or not this is right or wrong or bad or you know, anything else. They know what's bad. They did this with intent, and they do this with intent, knowing the effects that it does. So, you know, they can sit there and try to jerk us off all day long with this, oh, yeah, we've got more investigation into it. Find out whether it's bad or good. No, we know it's bad. So just stop fucking doing it. Don't sit here and try to jerk us off with these stories about, oh, there's people trying to stop it. They shouldn't even have gotten to that point. They should have never done it in the first place. And these clowns that did this should be held responsible. They're shipping all this stuff off to fucking China, for God's sakes. They're not even selling our natural gas and providing the natural gas to the people in the United States. You understand? We can have all the free heating and shit we wanted all winter long with the amount of natural gas they're pouring out of our land and our country here in the United States, but they're shipping it all off to China, folks. So they're making the money. They're selling off to China at a profit. They're all getting stinking rich, and they're killing us in the process. How much is too much for people finally stand up and say or do something about this? I don't know. I meant to mention earlier in the broadcast tonight, I did actually receive, I don't know if you guys sent email messages. If you did, thank you. But pretty quick, actually, we actually did get an email from Lana over there at Red Ice Radio. And seems that Red Ice Radio would like to have me back on as a guest again real soon and to come on and talk about the Secret Ride Volume 2. So that's fantastic. Hopefully they'll send me an address in so I can ship them a DVD. And then after that, I'll be setting up time. Don't know when yet. Don't know when that's going to be. As soon as I know something, I'll let you guys know. So don't send me a million emails asking me when I'm going to be on there again because I don't know yet. So please don't send me a million emails. If you send me an email, I'm not going to answer it. I'm not going to respond to it because I'm answering that now. I don't know when I'm going to be on there again yet, but I for sure confirmed am going to be on there, and I'll be also be on for 3 hours at some point with Lee Rogers sometime in the near future as well. So yeah, hopefully we're going to continue to push forward with this in 2012. We need some help this month. We've got a 2012 kickoff fundraiser going on right now. And, with that, we we started 2012 low in the pocket. So we need to get going on, getting some funds in here just to continue to pay the bills. We got bills due this week. We need to get some funds in for, and also to get some money up for expenses to go and shoot some footage of some of these ancient archaeological sites and stuff. I'm talking about stuff that's in driving distance from here to go cover for the next film. So please donate thegoldenmorality.com. And we're going to take a break, come back, and get into the Kabbalion for you here tonight. This is The Golden Reality. Stay with us. Thank you. Back here with you on the Global Reality, right here on the Global Reality Radio Network. I'm your host, Josh Reeves. Thanks for staying up late with us, being here with us tonight for another late night Moonbat edition of the broadcast. And we've started since the beginning of this month. We're now doing the show at around about the midnight Central Standard Time hour, give or take 15 or 20 minutes in there most of the time. So definitely, if you're listening to us on an archive show, if you're listening to us on a YouTube video, definitely make a note of that new time change. And depending on where you're listening at, it may enable you to be able to listen to the show more live. So I figured, you know, give people an alternative to listening to either, you know, the poodle head massage agent or the or Coast to Coast AM and Ghost Stories. I figured, you know, hey, why not give people something good to listen to at the late night hour? So here we are. It's definitely a change. I definitely like doing the show this time of night a hell of a lot better than I enjoy doing it like I used to do it. 11 to 3 every day. God, that was fucking killing me, dude. 4 hours of fucking... Who wants to do 4 hours of fucking radio a day? Who wants to hear me talk for 4 hours of radio a day? Seriously, I guess some people do. I don't know why. I appreciate it, but geez Louise. Anyway, chapter 15 tonight for you out of the Kabbalion, the Hermetic Axioms. That's what we're going to be getting into now. Hermetic Axioms. TheGlobalReality.com is my website. And make sure you get your DVDs, Blu-rays, Seeing Right Volume 2 up there for sale. And please, you know, those of you that do receive your DVDs, please make copies and hand those out and go to... since you now, you know, even though I'm not talking about it a lot, so I've talked about it some. Can you guys hear that? Listen to this. Wow. It's apocalyptic outside here where I live. I mean, in Dallas, it's just, man. I mean, it's thunderstorms like it's fucking spring or something. They just had a big tornado down in Houston. Tornadoes in January in Texas is not the norm, folks. Hate to have to break that to you, but yeah, not the norm. Wow, that really sounded like a ship taking off just then. My sister Jamie said it sounded like the mothership was coming. It really did. It really did sound like a ship taking off. It sounded like, I swear I heard engines. They're probably spraying chemtrails out there right now, creating that thing. For all we know, but yeah, definitely make copies of those. You know, now that the elections are going on, and we've got, you know, we got Ron Paul going around on the campaign stops. He's going, they're now in New Hampshire now. Well, they're going to be coming around and going on to different towns and cities. This may be a good time, those of you who have copies of The Secret Right Volume 2, to make copies of this and go out to these campaign stops and ask people if they know, you know, tell people, hey, you know, are you interested in these things that the media has said about Ron Paul and his connections to these different groups and stuff of that nature? Well, you know, here, take a copy of this film, or, you know, check out Secret Right Volume 2. Watch this, and, you know, you'll see why you really should have a problem with Ron Paul, not why they tell you you should have a problem with him. Judge that by the evidence, not by just what, you know, mainstream media is telling you on it. But anyway, there it is, TheGlobalReality.com. And again, help us out with our fundraiser this month. What we'll do is, anybody that donates $100 or more in our fundraiser this month will get a signed DVD or Blu-ray copy of The Secret Right Volume 2. How about that? So you should keep that in mind if you'd like to, because those, I'm not signing those for everybody. Research pack discs are coming randomly signed, but not every one of them is signed. And that's it. I can't go through and sign everything else. We're not offering a signed edition of the film yet. We do have signed editions of the other films that I've made up to this point. But we haven't offered that one yet. So there you go. Oh, Steph's doing weird sound stuff again. Getting buzzing and all kinds of weird stuff. It usually happens when the weather's like this. And now it sounds way too still and quiet. It's like it just came over and left. Gone, like it was some ship. That is fucking nuts. Hermetic Axioms, chapter 15, the final chapter of our reading of the series Kabbalion. And we'll move on to another book. I've got a few I'm choosing from and deciding right now. I just don't know what my next pick is going to be for sure yet, but we'll get to that as soon as I make a decision. Chapter 15, Hermetic Axioms. The Hermetic teachings, while always having been kept securely locked up in the minds of the fortunate possessors thereof, and for reasons which we have already stated, were never intended to be merely stored away and secreted. The law of the use is dwelt upon in the teachings, as you may see by reference to the above quotation for the Kabbalion, which states forcibly, the possession of knowledge, unless accompanied by a manifestation and expression in action, is like the hoarding of precious metals, a vain and foolish thing. Knowledge, like wealth, is intended for use. The law of use is universal, and he who violates it suffers by reason of his conflict with natural forces. Knowledge without use and expression is a vain thing, bringing no good to its possessor or to the race. Beware of mental miserliness, miserliness, and express into action that which you have learned. Study the axioms and aphorisms, but practice them also. We give below some of the more important Hermetic axioms from the Kabbalion, with a few comments added to each. Make these your own and practice and use them, for they are not really your own until you have used them. To change your mood or mental state, change your vibration. One may change his mental vibrations by an effort of will and the direction of deliberately fixing the attention upon a more desirable state. Will directs the attention, and attention changes the vibration. Cultivate the art of attention, means of the will, and you have solved the secret of the mastery of moods and mental states. To destroy an undesirable rate of mental vibration, put into operation the principle of polarity and concentrate upon the opposite pole to that which you desire to suppress. Kill out the undesirable by changing its polarity. This is one of the most important of the Hermetic formulas. It is based upon true scientific principles. We have shown you that a mental state and its opposite were merely the two poles of one thing, and that by mental transmutation, the polarity might be reversed. This principle is known to modern psychologists who apply it to the use of breaking up of undesirable habits by bidding their students concentrate upon the opposite quality. If you are possessed of fear, do not waste time trying to kill out fear, but instead cultivate the quality of courage, and the fear will disappear. Well, exactly. I've spoken to that many times in my own experience from that I've had doing this radio show and getting out this information and doing that. That kind of, you know, sums up my transition from going from being, you know, sort of one of these people that was in the truth movement, the mainstream truth movement, and Alex Jones listener and follower and all this stuff, and existing in that realm of fear, to then finding out about the CMP and deciding to have the courage to stand up and talk about that information and talk about the implications of it. Even though, when I first started talking about it, nobody wanted to listen to me about it at all. And now, you know, it's become part of the nomenclature. Now, you know, thanks, you know, and largely to the work that I've done and other people have done, but it certainly was not a part of the mainstream nomenclature and part of the conversation in as far as the research community goes before I came along, and it is now. And because I had the courage to stand up over that, did away with all the fear and bullshit that I had of, you know, the New World Order and all this stuff, and turned it into the energy to try and get out the real truth of what it really is that we're up against. Because, you know, again, you know, we have been given a convoluted picture of who and what it really is that we're up against. And so up to this point, any action has fallen flat on its face because we're fighting against a shadowy enemy that we believe is what we've identified it as. But we don't have all the facts yet, not any of us. Some writers have expressed this idea most forcibly by using the illustration of the dark room. You do not have to shovel out or sweep out the darkness, but by merely opening the shutters and letting in the light, darkness has disappeared. To kill out a negative quality, concentrate upon the positive pole of that same quality. and the vibrations will gradually change from negative to positive. Until finally, you will become polarized on the positive pole instead of the negative. The reverse is also true, as many have found out to their sorrow, when they have allowed themselves to vibrate too constantly on the negative pole of things. And our whole society is garnered towards getting people to dwell on the negative pole of things. And you get people, you'll fall into that. And you just have to pull yourself out of that and not allow yourself to get in that. You know, something bad happens to you or something negative comes along, you know, dwelling in it and just, oh, woe is me, and feeling sorry for yourself just makes it worse. Doesn't help it. By changing your polarity, you may master your moods, change your mental states, remake your disposition, and build up character. Much of the mental mastery of the advanced hermetics is due to this application of polarity, which is one of the most important aspects of mental transmutation. Remember the hermetic axiom quoted previously, which says, mind as well as metals and elements may be transmuted from state to state, degree to degree, condition to condition, pole to pole, vibration to vibration. The mastery of polarization is the mastery of the fundamental principles of mental transmutation or mental alchemy. For unless one acquires the art of changing his own polarity, he will be unable to affect his environment. An understanding of this principle will enable one to change his own polarity as well as that of others. If he will but devote the time, care, study, and practice necessary to master the art. The principle is true, but the results obtained depend upon the persistent patience and practice of the student. Rhythm may be neutralized by an application of the art of polarization. As we have explained in previous chapters, the Hermeticists hold that the principle of rhythm manifests on the mental plane as well as on the physical plane, and that the bewildering succession of moods, feelings, emotions, and other mental states are due to the backward and forward swing of the mental pendulum, which carries us from one extreme of feeling to the other. The Hermeticists also teach that the law of neutralization enables one, to a great extent, to overcome the operation of rhythm in consciousness. As we have explained, there is a higher plane of consciousness, as well as the ordinary lower plane, and the master, by rising mentally to the higher plane, causes the swing of the mental pendulum to manifest on the lower plane. And he, dwelling on his higher plane, escapes the consciousness of the swing backward. This is effected by polarizing on the higher self, and thus raising the mental vibrations of the ego above those of the ordinary plane of consciousness. It is akin to rising above a thing and allowing it to pass beneath you. Oh, you mean like,
are you telling me I can dodge bullets?
No, I'm telling you, once you learn, you won't have to. Whatever that shit was with the Matrix, remember that? The advanced hermeticist polarizes himself at the positive pole of his being, the I am pole, rather than the pole of personality, and by refusing and denying the operation of rhythm, raises himself above its plane of consciousness, and standing firm in his statement of being, he allows the pendulum to swing back on the lower plane without changing his polarity. This is accomplished by all individuals who have attained any degree of self-mastery, whether they understand the law or not. Such persons simply refuse to allow themselves to be swung back by the pendulum of mood and emotion, and by steadfastly affirming the superiority, they remain polarized on the positive side. The master, of course, attains a far greater degree of proficiency because he understands the law, which he is overcoming by a higher law, and by the use of his will, he attains a degree of poise and mental steadfastness almost impossible of belief on the part of those who allow themselves to be swung backward and forward by the mental pendulum of moods and feelings. Remember always, however, that you do not really destroy the principle of rhythm, for that is indestructible. You simply overcome one law by counterbalancing it with another, and thus maintain an equilibrium. The laws of balance and counterbalance are in operation on the mental as well as on the physical planes. And an understanding of these laws enables one to seem to overthrow laws, whereas he is merely exerting a counterbalance. Nothing escapes the principle of cause and effect, but there are many planes of causation, and one may use the laws of the higher to overcome the laws of the lower. By an understanding of the practice of polarization, the Hermeticists rise to a higher plane of causation and thus counterbalance the laws of the lower planes of causation. By rising above the plane of ordinary causes, they become themselves, in a degree, causes instead of merely being caused. By being able to master their own moods and feelings, and by being able to neutralize rhythm, as we have already explained, they are able to escape a great part of the operations of cause and effect on the ordinary plane. The masses of people are carried along obedient to their environment. The wills and desires of others stronger than themselves. The effects of inherited tendencies. The suggestions of those about them. And other outward causes which tend to move them about on the chessboard of life like mere pawns. By rising above these influencing causes, the advanced Hermeticist seeks to a higher plane of mental action. And by dominating their moods, emotions, impulses, and feelings, they create for themselves new characters, qualities, and powers by which they overcome their ordinary environment, and thus become practically players instead of mere pawns. Such people help to play the game of life understandingly instead of being moved about this way and that way by stronger influences and powers and wills. They use the principle of cause and effect instead of being used by it. Of course, even the highest are subject to the principle as it manifests on the higher planes, but on the lower planes of activity, they are masters instead of slaves. As the Kabbalion says, the wise ones serve on the higher, but rule on the lower. They obey the laws coming from above them, but on their own plane and those below them, they rule and give orders. And yet in doing so, they form a part of the principle instead of opposing it. The wise man falls in with the law, and by understanding its movements, he operates it instead of being its blind slave. Just as the skilled swimmer turns this way and that way, going and coming as he will, instead of being as the log which is carried here and there, so is the wise man as compared to the ordinary man. And yet both swimmer and log, wise man and fool, are subject to law. He who understands this is well on the road to mastery. In conclusion, let us call again your attention to the Hermetic axiom. True Hermetic transmutation is a mental art. In the above axiom, the Hermeticists teach that the great work of influencing one's environment is accomplished by mental power. The universe being wholly mental, it follows that it may be ruled only by mentality. And in this truth is to be found an explanation of all the phenomena and manifestations of the various mental powers which are attracting so much attention and study in these earlier years of the 20th century. Earlier years of the 20th century, wow. No wonder a lot of this language sounds dated. Back of and under the teachings of the various cults and schools remains ever constant the principle of the mental substance of the universe. If the universe be mental in its substantial nature, then it follows that the mental transmutation must change the conditions and phenomena of the universe. If the universe is mental, then mind must be the highest power affecting its phenomenon. If this be understood, then all the so-called miracles and wonder workings are seen plainly for what they are. And yeah, manifestation of the mind. And that's the end. The all is mind. The universe is mental. The Kabbalion, that's the last thing it says. So that's the end. And that's a great read. And another great series of reading there. It comes to close. We'll move on to another book on the next broadcast. But just in summation here at the end of the book, The one thing that I really learned from this, I really already knew, but it really reinforced it for me, is that everything that we perceive as reality is it's a construct that it's sort of an illusion that we're all, simultaneously delusional about at the same time. You see, And, you know, we're not given sort of a key to mastery, to mastering our mental states and understanding that our mental states reflect, you know, much higher states in the universe and vice versa. But, I mean, the power of mind over matter and the power of the mind to create its reality, good or bad, is very real. And the people who have learned this are the people who have, for the most part, kept that from humanity in a large part, although there are people like us who have figured it out. But that's really the key, folks, that they don't want everybody to know. Because if everyone learned how to master themselves and to master their emotions and their feelings and how that reflects on their reality and other people's reality, you know, you wouldn't have any need for laws or governments or rules or restrictions or any of that stuff, would you? No, you wouldn't. Why? Well, because every person would be their own master. Every person would know the universal laws and the universal dues, because everybody universally knows right or wrong. You don't even have to be taught right or wrong. Everybody knows innately what's right and what's wrong. But the programming and the culture and everything else skews that all up. But that's what a lot of these ancient teachings and Hermetic stuff teach us, is that if everyone on the planet was given access to this information, you would have there would be no need to regulate sections of the population ever, because everyone would know from the very beginning how they needed to operate and self-govern themselves. So that's, you know, that's why I continue to read these kind of books, and I will continue to read these kind of books on the air, because I get a lot from it. I know you get a lot from it, and it's really good stuff. So we'll definitely move on to something good next as well for you. Short show. I mean, there was today for Monday. Again, the news cycles have just been, I've just been really shitty over the past several weeks. So that's really cut down the length of the shows, but I've still been enjoying the shows. I think we've been putting out some good info and just ready to get going on everything else. I'm just ready to get going on the next film and everything else. I'd love to be able to take a vacation or a break. I'm not going to be able to afford to do that. So, fuck it. Let's just get into the next thing and continue on here, shall we? TheEagleMorality.com is my website. We need some support this week. Please go there and make a donation if you can. And we will see you back here tomorrow for the broadcast. My name is Josh Reeves, and I love each and every one of you. You guys have yourselves a great night, great morning. Take care.